Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jai Nitai Gola Prem Anandi. Okay, so tonight we'll finish chapter 51. So we'll go from verses 44 to 63, we'll finish the chapter. Sukadeva Goswami said, Muchakunda bowed down to the Lord when he heard this. Remembering the words of the sage Gaga, he joyfully recognized Krishna to be the Supreme Lord, Narayan. The king then addressed him as follows. Mahatma
Prabhu? Although the Lord, he appears as 400 Narayan, we may say that Muchakunda was addressing Sri Krishna. All of this is taking place within the context of Krishna. It is well known to Vaishnava there will be 400 forms of Vishnu or Narayan or extensions of Sri Krishna. Thus within the pastime of Lord Krishna, there may also appear Vishnu Lila, the activities of Vishnu. Such are the qualities and activities of Supreme Godhead. Deeds for that for us would be extraordinary and impossible at common place. Effortless pastimes for Supreme Personality of God. Srila Sridhar Swami informs us that Muchakunda was aware of the prediction of the ancient sage Garga that in the 20th millennium the Supreme Lord would descend. According to Acharya Vishwanath, Garga further informed Muchakunda that he would personally see the Lord. Now it was all happening.
So any points here?
Gargamuni had predicted that in 28th millennium you will be able to see Lord Krishna personally and meet him.
Yeah. Anything else?
And also it's the 400 form of Lord Krishna.
Any other points?
So he is again the importance of Shruti, explained the Shruti part of the Vedas, where the Lord's incarnations are already predicted and people used to have full faith in those words.
Good. Anything else?
Krishna shows me that you could have 400 form, but that is what he was attracted to.
So here we see once again the Bhagavatam is establishing Krishna as Avatari. Avatari means he's the source of all the avatars. To show again and again during his pastimes that he is the source of the avatars, then sometimes he appears in the forearm form. Even while he's displaying the pastimes of Krishna, which Krishna normally shows two arm form. But he's establishing. And there are many pastimes actually. If you go to Vrindavan, there are pastimes where he shows that he is Ramachandra. Krishna shows he's none different from Ramachandra in Kamyavan, the pastime where Krishna says to the gopis, actually in my previous incarnation I was Lord Ram. The gopis said, well, no, you have no proof. And Krishna says, no, I can prove it. So he plays his flute and then all the monkeys come and they all bow down on one knee and then they all look to him like that. And then he plays his flute and then they throw rocks. And there's one lake there. And then they pass on to Setu Banda where Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, builds the bridge. The monkeys build a bridge and then Krishna and the monkeys cross the bridge. So that pastime is there, and also where Krishna shows that he is Varaha Dev on the bank of the Jamuna, and Varaha Ghat, same thing. The gopis say, you are not Varaha. He says, no, I can prove it. And then he actually displays that form of Varaha Dev, and then he picks up the one pot, just like the earth, and he shows them that he is Varaha Dev. There's many pastimes. And we see earlier in the 10th canto where he shows a four-armed form to the gopis when they're looking for him. So he's showing these things to show that he is Avatari. He is the source of all of the avatars. So he's showing his supremacy, his supreme nature. So in all the pastimes, even though Krishna is two-armed form, but sometimes he'll show other things just to display his supreme potency. Any points?
His memory wasn't really good. His memory wasn't really good. And Gargamuni when he told him so many years ago, and still he was sleeping for that long, but he still he remembered.
He must have been taking the Brahmi. There's one herb.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Called Brahmi.
Brahmi.
Very good for the memory.
Yeah. Okay.
I take it every day.
That's good.
I do. I take the Brahmi.
And then I'll start taking it too.
Please, Mataji. Take it.
So, just like Narayan and Varaha, they are avatars. Do we say that Govardhan is also avatar, or that's the proper way to say?
Not really an avatar, but a Govardhan Hill has like a special position. So he says like an expansion of Krishna. I mean, a little bit different to the other incarnations. Sri Muchukunda said, O Lord, the people of this world, both men and women, are bewildered by your illusory energy. Unaware of their real benefit, they do not worship you, but instead seek happiness by entangling themselves in family affairs, which are actually sources of misery. Sharada Rata.
Muchukunda immediately makes it clear that he is not going to ask the Lord for material blessings. He has advanced spiritually far beyond those who try to exploit the religion for all kinds of material benefits. Art means value, and the negation of this word, anartha, means that which is valueless or useless. Thus the term anarthdrak indicates those whose vision is focused on valueless things, who have not understood what actual art or value is. All that glitters is not gold. And Muchukunda here emphatically states that he should not ruin our spiritual chances by entangling ourselves in the coarse gold of bodily relationship. We are meant to love the Lord.
Any points?
We should not waste our time in anything but loving God.
Good. Anything else? So it says here that we should not become bewildered by Maya. Maya means illusion. We should not become bewildered by Maya. But the fact is that we are bewildered by Maya. So Muchukunda here is saying, I am bewildered by Maya. He's speaking on our behalf. So he's showing that actually Maya means we become absorbed in bodily relationships. According to our body, then we think aham mameti. I am Australian, I'm 48. I was born here in Melbourne, and I have a wife and a daughter and like that. So we have this bodily identification. But that bodily identification is?
No.
Illusion. Yeah, it's not. But then we think that. But actually, it is a source of misery. As long as you think in terms of illusion, you will suffer. If we understand our swarupa, swarupa means your constitutional position in relation to Krishna, then there is not suffering. Then you'll be satisfied and you'll be happy. But as long as we think in terms of this bodily identification, then we must suffer. That's the nature of the illusory energy. So, it is because of, in the Sanskrit it says, anartha. Anartha means something we're attached to which is invaluable. Means it has no value. That's anartha. Anartha means I'm attached to something. But actually there's no value to that thing. Why are we attached to it? Because of lust. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, it's because of kama. Because of lust we want to enjoy, so therefore we become attached to things. But these things cannot give you real happiness in this material world. So that's the nature of the loser energy. As long as we remain attached to it, then we will suffer. If we become detached, there is no more suffering. So. Any points? Okay. That person has an impure mind who, despite having somehow or other automatically obtained the rare and highly evolved human form of life, does not worship your lotus feet. Like an animal that has fallen into a blind well, such a person has fallen into the darkness of a material home. Nila.
Our real home is in the kingdom of God. Despite our tenacious determination to remain in our material home, death will rudely eject us from the center of material affairs. To stay at home is not a bad thing. Nor is it bad to devote ourselves to our loved ones. But we must understand that our real home is eternal, in the spiritual kingdom. The word Aitamata indicates that human life has been automatically awarded to us. We have not constructed our human bodies, and therefore we should not foolishly claim this body is mine. The human form is a gift of God and should be used to achieve the perfection of God consciousness. One who does not understand this is a asanmati, possessed of dull, mundane understanding.
So any points there?
It reminds me about Sanatana Goswami. When he got eczema, he wanted to kill himself because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to embrace him. The blood and the pus used to go and he used to feel bad. And so he wanted to give up his life.
Yeah.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you have given this body to me and I have got to do lots of things with it. So the body is not ours. It is given to us by God. And we have to use it for ourselves.
Nice. Any other point?
We are just instruments.
Good. Anything else? So? Grihastha life. Without worship of Krishna is Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. If we're not worshipping Krishna as part of our Grihastha Ashram, then there's no point. It's just a waste of time. Our lives are useless. Shrama means useless. So if we worship Krishna, then Grihastha Ashram becomes meaningful. Otherwise it's just a Bhagavatam describes you become a Griha Medhi. And Griha Medhi means the Griha is the center of your consciousness. Krishna should be the center of our consciousness. And Grihastha life is just something that we do to fulfill material desires. That's all. It's a material desire, it's not a spiritual desire, Grihastha Ashram. If it's used in Krishna's service, it becomes spiritualized. And we get purified. We can make a rapid advancement in the Grihastha Ashram. But only if we worship Krishna. And Krishna must be in the center. If the material family members are in the center, then you cannot be happy in the Grihastha ashram. So, the human form of life, as is being described, is a gift. And if you're given the gift and you do not use the gift properly, then you're no better than the animal. Dvipada pashu means you have two legs, but still you are just like an animal. Yeah, it means there's no elevation of consciousness. Human form of life means we have to evolve. We have to become more evolved in consciousness. If we're not evolving in consciousness, then that's not a human. Animals do not evolve in consciousness. Humans have to evolve in consciousness. So that's the purpose of Grihastha life, to elevate ourselves, to become advanced in spiritual life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the Kali Yuga, the Grihastha ashram is good for the devotees. Because we can fulfill our material desires, we can still advance even with our contaminated consciousness, but still then we are progressing gradually. So it is desirable. But Krishna must be in the center, otherwise it's just useless. There's no point. Any point?
That's how Bhakti
Yeah. Anything else?
Asanmati. That understanding. Asanmati.
Okay. I have wasted all this time, O unconquerable one, becoming more and more intoxicated by my domain and opulence as an earthly king, misidentifying the mortal body as the self, becoming attached to children, wives, treasury, and land. I suffered endless anxiety. That's a good verse. Alia, you'd like to read that? Sure.
Having in the previous verse condemned those who misuse the valuable human form of life for mundane purposes, Muchukunda now admits that he himself falls into this category. He intelligently wants to take advantage of the Lord's association and become a pure devotee once and for all.
Shows his humility.
Any other points?
It feels a little bit like he regrets wasting that time.
Yeah, there's one album that came out a few years ago. One devotee in France, his name is Krishna Prema. He produced one devotional CD. I don't know, maybe you heard it. I think it's Krishna Prem 3, I think it's called. So, anyway, I used to listen to it. And then there's one part where Prabhupada, he just keeps repeating, Prabhupada keeps repeating during the track. Prabhupada says, "Don't waste time." And then a few moments later, Prabhupada says, "Don't waste time." Very powerful when Prabhupada says it. When Prabhupada says anything, it has great potency. Don't waste time. Prabhupada would say, don't waste time. So that is Krishna consciousness. We should not be wasting time. It means you have to reduce your eating, your sleeping, your mating, your defending, so that we can serve Krishna more. That's the point of devotional life. Prabhupada says in the purport of 1865 in the Gita, Savadamamprajaja, he says, mold your life in such a way that 24 hours a day you cannot help but think of Krishna. So we have to work out how to do it. Prabhupada showed us the example. Reduce the eating, reduce the sleeping, right? Mating, defending, so that he could just focus on serving Krishna. That's the goal of our life. So Muchukunda is saying here, don't waste your time. Advance in Krishna consciousness. And give up your Purusha Bhav. What is your Purusha Bhav? the mood that I am the controller and the enjoyer, the Purush, the master. Krishna is the master. He is the Adi Purush. He is the Maha Purush. We are simply Prakriti. Whether you're male or female body, but you are Prakriti. You're just simply to be enjoyed by Krishna. Now that's our own imposition. So we have to give up that Purusha Bhav, thinking I am the enjoyer. That's what keeps us in the material world, lifetime after lifetime. Any points? With deep arrogance, I took myself to be the body, which is a material object like a pot or a wall. Thinking myself a god among men, I traveled the earth, surrounded by my charioteers, elephants, cavalry, foot soldiers, and generals, disregarding you in my deluding pride. So, in Christianity, when they bury someone at the funeral, then quite often there's a famous line from the Bible. It says, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Which is actually, that is a Vedic philosophy. The body is just mriti. Mriti means?
Earth,
yeah, like dust. Just dust. One time I was doing Govardhan Parikram by myself many years ago. I was going around Govardhan and then I stopped at Puncheri, one place at the very end. And I was at one of my favorite places, a little kunja, a little grova. And then I was in there. And then one sadhu came. He was young. Now, he was younger than me, I think. And he was I could see he was a very saintly person. And he sat down and he started to preach to me. So I thought that he's been sent by Krishna. So I was listening very carefully to what he said. And he said to me, he said, this world is mriti. Just dust. Just all dust. Your body is just dust. Now it looks like this, but soon it'll just be dust. So he was saying to me, then your only duty is to develop nama ruchi, or taste for chanting the holy name, because everything else is just dust. Very powerful instructions. So I got that instructor. I still remember all these years. I never saw him again. Never saw that devotee again. So I go to that place, but I've never seen him again. But it felt like he just appeared. I was sitting there, he just came, and he just sat with me. And he just started preaching to me. So I took it that, you know, Krishna is sending him to preach to me. So that's the reality the Bhagavatam is teaching us. This world is just dust. We'll all disappear in due course of time. Any points?
Namruchi, Vibhaya, and Vaishnav Seva.
Acha. Three.
Then? When somebody dies in the family, they just hurry up in burning the body. And then if you realize this body is not good, we should utilize it when we are ready, you know. But that time we become very, you know, we got that feeling that this body is not good, we should utilize it for the, till we are living. But then after some time then we forget.
People become sober in three places. Yeah. In the crematorium, when someone is dying, then people become sober, dhira. And then at the hospital, when someone is sick, everyone becomes dhira.
Yeah.
And in the Bhagavatam class, everyone becomes dhira, sober. So these three places, everyone becomes sober. But then as soon as you leave the hospital, leave the crematorium or leave the Bhagavatam class, and then you just want to enjoy the material energy. Give me some ice cream. I want to enjoy.
Smash, smash.
I wasn't just talking to you. I'm talking to everyone in the material world. But when we leave, then we just want to enjoy. But at least when we're in those places, we become sober, giver. Any point?
I agree with Mataji. It happened with one of my friends. His father died around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And in India, like, the sun sets around 5:30. And all the family, they were in a hurry to just to go and burn the body. I said, that's fine, you can do it tomorrow. No, we can't take the body at home. Children will be scared. I said, he's your father. Like, I was so astonished that whole life he's done so much for you guys, mm-hmm. and you can't keep the body for one night. So that is the importance, like, nothing is so sad at that time. That's the reality of life.
Yeah, it says in the Vedas that if the body, if we die in the day, we should burn the body before the sun sets.
Yeah.
It says like that. And if we die at night, we should burn the body before the sun rises. Yeah. If practical. If possible.
Before sunrise?
Before the sun rises, yeah. If you can. I was in Mayapur a few years ago, Nirguna Prabhu, when Devotee passed away.
Were you there at that time?
Yeah. Were you there when the... Did you go on the funeral? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went to the Ganges. Mm-hmm. And we came back and jumped in. Mm-hmm. We did so many things together. And even we went to funerals together. Mm-hmm. So one devotee, Nirguna Prabhu, his Prabhupada disciple, they passed away, and then within 1 or 2 hours, that was it. They just took him, they burned his body on the bank of the Ganga. That's the system.
So what I meant was that nobody's yours in this world.
No.
You come
along
and you go.
That's it. You can't even take Mahatma Prabhu.
But what I'm saying is that your karma only goes with you.
Even I can't take Mahatma Prabhu. No one can take.
I had a point.
Yeah. I had a point.
I just, family friend the other day, we were at a dinner, and during this dinner, he's usually really, all he thinks about is food and drinking and fun, and at this dinner he was always mentioning God's name, and I remember looking at him and thinking, oh, that's different, that's strange. The next day my sister told me that he had just found out he had cancer and he was dying, and all of a sudden he's very godly. I said, that's why. So we shouldn't wait till we're sick and dying to think about God. We should try our best. This coming from someone who forgets every day 1,000 times. So I'm just as bad. But.
Just make sure you think of God when you're at the tennis. That's the main thing. That's important. But actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru, he said that for a devotee, sickness is a great blessing. Because it makes you more serious in your Krishna consciousness. If we get sick, that's actually Krishna's mercy. Because he's making us detached from this world. A man obsessed with thoughts of what he thinks needs to be done, intensely greedy and delighting in sense enjoyment, is suddenly confronted by you, who are ever alert like a hungry snake licking its fangs before a mouse. You appear before him as death. It's a little bit funny because Friday night I was preaching. We have one meditation program we do in Torquay. So I did the class and everything, and then at the end of the class, we had prasadam. Then it was about 8:30, and I was getting ready, to go home. So then, my phone rings, and then I see on there my wife's name appears. So I think, okay, so I answer the phone. She said, I just stepped on a snake. I said, where? She said, in our lounge room. Like that little, it was like a baby snake, like this big. My baby one somehow came in, and then she stepped, but she was totally freaked out. Yeah, I think Mataji's would get freaked out, right?
Yes.
Even in this big, you would still freak out, right? Yeah.
Yeah, more poisonous actually. Small snakes are more poisonous actually than a bigger snake.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, if it had been about that big, it would have been more poisonous, but it's about that big. But she totally freaked out. Mm-hmm. And I'm just laughing because it's here. Like that. It wasn't funny, but I was laughing.
I get frightened
when you just... Yeah, she was very freaked out. She come home immediately. I went home as quick as I could, like that. When I saw how big it was only like this big.
Is it wrong to kill a snake?
Not wrong to kill. Not wrong to kill. They caught it, they put it in a plastic thing, and Luki, one of the little boys, he took it. He's playing with it inside the little plastic container. So anyway, the point is, don't tell her I told that story. She'll get really, she'll get really upset. I hope she doesn't listen to these lectures. Okay. But the point is that no one escapes
death.
And Bhagavatam has said earlier, actually, that the time is the snake coming like that. And then coming, then one day just grabs us. So that is the snake waiting to get all of us, actually. So when we become more Krishna conscious, then we always have that perception that the snake is close by. You know, time is close by. You know, we don't think like, I don't wake up in the morning and think, oh, I'm going to die today. But in the back of your mind, you have to have some perception or some consciousness that death could be there. So never let your consciousness go too far away. Always have some consciousness that, you know, I have to be thinking of Krishna, I have to be concentrating on Krishna. Because we don't know, maybe death will come. Like that. So you have to be at least ready. If it comes, then it comes. But that is like a snake. So you just have to be conscious over time.
Is there a sure of death?
Yeah, as sure as death. Yeah, very good. The body that at first rides high on fierce elephants or chariots adorned with gold and is known by the name king is later, by your invincible power of time, called... No, it is correct. Your invincible power of time, called feces, worms, or
ashes.
So Bhagavatam, it says in the very first verse, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 1, it says, the Bhagavatam distinguishes between reality and illusion. Now, this is reality. Reality is, we're attached to the body. Now, the body is either going to end up in three ways. Either you'll be cremated, or they'll bury you, and then worms will come and eat that body. Or somehow you'll just die somewhere, and no one knows. Sometimes it happens. You know, you die and no one finds your body, for some time. And then the dogs, or the jackals, or the
vultures,
they'll come. And they'll eat our body. So we either end up, our body becomes stool, or it becomes ashes, or it becomes just food for worms. So that's all it is. So Bhagavatam is giving us reality. So that reality has to set upon us. We have to imbibe that in our consciousness, sooner or later, that the body is just temporary. At the moment we're very attached to the body, but as you advance in Krishna consciousness, you should be feeling a detachment taking place. Just like the coconut. And when the coconut is ripe, you shake it and it's removed from the husk or the shell. And it separates. So that's what we should become like. We're in the body, we become separate from the body. Prabhupada was like that. You know, Prabhupada was completely separate from the body. But that's what we need to develop, that kind of consciousness in due course of time. So Bhagavatam is teaching us this is the reality. Having conquered the entire circle of directions and being thus free of conflict, a man sits on a splendid throne, receiving praise from leaders who were once his equals. But when he enters the women's chambers, where sex pleasure is found, he is led about like a pet animal, O Lord. So this is the nature of this material world. Maituni bhav. Maituni bhav means attraction between the sexes. Pumsa striya maituni bhavam etam hridaya grantim ahu. It says in the Bhagavatam that pumsa striya means the attraction between male and female. Maituni bhav. Maituni means like the twins. Like Chu, Maituni. Bhav means the attraction between the opposites. Hridaya gruntin. Hridaya means within the heart there's a grunta, which means a knot. That's what binds us to the material world. Attraction and attachment to the opposite sex. So you may become so powerful, just like a great Digvijay. A great conqueror of all directions. You've conquered everything, you're a great warrior. But then when you enter into the bedroom of the wife, then you've conquered every man in the universe or every man on the planet. But you go in and the woman just puts her foot on your chest. You are conquered. It says in the Bhagavatam earlier on, just by moving her eyebrow, she conquers you. And then you are completely useless. It is said that the eyebrow is the
bow and
arrow. Yeah, the bow of Cupid. When the woman moves her eyebrows, then the man just comes completely bewildered. His head spins. So it's completely conquered. So that is the power of the opposite sex. So that's what keeps us in the material world. It is attachment to the opposite sex. So Muchukunda is saying that we have to release that attachment, purify that attachment, and then you can transcend the material energy. Any point? Okay. A king who desires even greater power than he already has strictly performs his duties, carefully practicing austerity and foregoing sense enjoyment. But he whose urges are so rampant, thinking, I am independent and supreme, cannot attain happiness. So, spiritual life is meant for, human life is meant for, tapo divyam. This is mentioned by Rishabhdev back in the fifth canto. He says, if you're a human being, you must do tapasya. You have to do tapasya. You don't advance in Krishna consciousness unless you do tapasya. Austerities. Yeah. Unless you do austerities, you don't advance in Krishna consciousness. You have to. How do we define austerity? Right. Rupa Goswami says, one of the items of bhakti is that you must give up things you don't like giving up. Right. You don't advance in Krishna consciousness. Right. You might like sleeping in. You have to give it up. You don't like getting up early in the morning. You have to do it. Right? You don't like reducing your eating. You have to do it. So many things we have to do if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness. You don't like chanting 16 rounds. You have to do it. You have to get a taste for chanting. So it becomes pleasurable. Prabhupada says, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000? You should feel when you're chanting. Prabhupada said, why 16 rounds? That is not enough. 16,000 rounds. That should be the feeling in the consciousness. That takes some austerity. You have to get up early in the morning and you have to focus and then it will come. The problem is most of us, they chant mechanically. I chant mechanically. That's why I do these japa retreats. 15 years I've been going to these retreats, holy name retreats, japa. Like Indra Swami is about to do a holy name retreat. Govinda Maharaj is coming up with New Govardhan. So you have to attend these kind of gatherings, right? That's why I go to these things, you know, to develop. And Sachinandan Swami, you know, one of my shiksha gurus, and he says, you have to develop sambandha. Sambandha means relationship with Krishna. The holy name is none different from Krishna. Abhinitva nama namano. It is the same. So you have to develop relationship with Krishna. And then it's not an austerity to chant. It's actually relishable to chant. It's only an austerity when there's no relationship, no taste. But when you have a relationship with Krishna, you like to chant his names. That's natural. When you have a relationship with Krishna, you like to read the Bhagavatam. When you have a relationship, you like to think about him. You like to worship the deity. Because they're a relationship. That is the system. Days like today, Ram Navami, holy day. So it's an opportunity to do more devotional service. That's why these days are here. It actually says in the Shastra, you should not avoid observing these holy days. Ram Navami, you should stop everything. You know, as much as practical. You know, work and all these things, they'll go on. You know, when Jamashtami comes, you know, many devotees are bringing sick leave. Yeah, you've got sick leave. Exploit it. You know, exploit it. They're just, what are they doing? What's the whole point of their companies and everything? All these guys you're working for and involved with. Bring in and say you're sick as much as possible. Exploit the system. They pay you to go to Jamashtami. The point is they should be at Jamashtami. That's the real point. Why aren't they there? You know, so if they're not going to be there, okay, pay you. Actually, in Australia, by law, they have to pay you for 2 days religious...
Religious leave, yeah.
Most people don't know that in Australia. They think it's only the Christian holidays, like, you know, Christmas and New Year. Not New Year, Easter, I think.
Good Friday, yes.
Like these things. They think, but actually it's a law in Australia, if you're Islam, Muslim, or Hindu, or Buddhist, any of them, they have to pay you for 2 days. So exploit that, take that.
It's legal, actually.
Okay. No, it's legal, yeah. But a lot of people don't know. They don't know that actually, by law, we're allowed to do this. So then do it. And tell them, you know, I'm having this day off, I'm having that day off. Right? And then all the other days, you take sick leave. Yeah. I feel really bad today. As much as you can. Okay, any points?
I can't really understand this translation. If you want something greater, which you already got it, then, so why does he do the more austerity?
No, he's just giving us advice. We should do some austerity. Muchakunda doesn't have to do austerity.
Okay.
We should do it.
Okay.
When the material life of a wandering soul has ceased, O Achutya, he may attain the association of your devotees. And when he associates with them, there awakens in him devotion unto you, who are the goal of the devotees and the Lord of all causes and their effects. So it's interesting, a very nice commentary by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami. They explain that sadhu sangha, devotional life begins with shraddha. Yeah, Jiva Goswami says faith. But then the second step is sadhu sangha. Yeah, because when you have faith, what do? You start associating, right? Okay, now I have faith, this is what I should do. So when you start associating with devotees, that marks the beginning of the end of your material life. That means material life is finished. Right? If you appreciate the association of the devotees and you regularly take association with devotees, it means material life is finished. And the more you take the association of devotees, the more the material life is finished. It will disappear. Material life disappears altogether. So therefore, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami, they say that we should associate with the devotees as much as possible. And the more advanced the devotee, the more association you should take. Now, if the devotee is very advanced, then you take the association as much as you can. I mean, my Guru Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he said he just tried to get as much association with Prabhupada as possible. And he got a lot of association with Prabhupada. Yeah. Because that was his realization. Right? Prabhupada is advanced, I also want to become advanced, so then associate with Prabhupada. So if advanced devotees are there, then we take the association as much as possible. Right? That's the system. And then material life becomes severed. Because sadhu means one who cuts. The advanced story will cut your attachment to this material world. Any point?
Yes, Guru Maharaj, you know, when Kubir wanted to give him benediction, he said, I just bless me so that I get the association of sadhus.
Mm. Good. Anything else?
I went in Houston temple last year and I saw Guru Maharaj showing umbrella to Srila Prabhupada in walk.
Mm.
Always serving.
Mm. Mm. Okay. My Lord, I think you have shown me mercy since my attachment to my kingdom has spontaneously ceased. Such freedom is prayed for by saintly rulers of vast empires who desire to enter the forest for a life of solitude. Hmm. So, when we perform devotional service, there are two byproducts. It says within the Shastra, Bhagavat Mahatmya, it says that when you perform bhakti, bhakti has two children, jnana and vairagya. So we know we're advancing in bhakti when our vairagya increases. You become detached from the material world. Right? You're not attached to this world anymore. That's how you know practically you're advancing. Sometimes we think, am I advancing Krishna consciousness? How do you? One way of measuring is I'm becoming less attached to the material world. Vairagya is just automatic. I don't want to be with the non-devotees. I don't want to... Like today I was driving up from... I was coming up to here. So I was listening to some kirtan. You know, the devotees are singing the names of Sitaram. And then I listened to some lecture by my Guru Maharaj. Yeah. But then I thought for a moment, I thought, you know, I haven't listened to any radio for a week. I don't know what the news is. So I turned on to listen to the news. So I listened for about 10 seconds. And it was so much, how do you say it, like garbage. So I just turned off straight. Okay, I don't need that. So that's vairagya. Right. The more you associate with the devotees, the less you want to associate with the non-devotees. There's no taste. Yeah, they're just telling me a story. I'm like, what are you telling me, man? If there's actually some news, please tell us. But if there's nothing going on, you just... Better you guys just chant. But they're just absorbed in material consciousness.
There is a verse in Bhagavatam that if you have the vairagya will come automatically.
Yeah.
So there's a Bhagavatam.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll come. Another interesting point is that if we're becoming released from material desires, that is a sign that we're getting the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, Guru and Krishna. If your material desires are disappearing, that's a sign of mercy. That means detachment is taking place. Where's the detachment coming from? Yeah, it means that, well, it's coming from kripa, it's coming from mercy. Brindi, you have to calm down a bit. If you are becoming detached, right, that detachment is a result of your bhakti. You're doing devotional service. And if you're doing devotional service, then you should be feeling detached. That's a sign of mercy. It means Krishna is pleased and Guru is pleased. Right, and then I'm becoming detached from this material energy. Yep.
I'm finding
And I don't know if this is normally, but that the detachment isn't a straight line. It sort of comes and goes. Why does that happen?
Because you're not very advanced yet, that's all. When you become more advanced, then it becomes more steady. Devotional service, when you're more advanced, is called nishta. Nishta means steady. It doesn't waver all the time. Oh, all-powerful one, I desire no boon other than service to your lotus feet, the boon most eagerly sought by those free of material desire. O Hari, what enlightened person who worships you, the giver of liberation, would choose a boon that causes his own bondage? So a devotee is known as Akinchana. There are 26 qualities of a devotee. One of them is Niskinchan or Akinchan. Akinchan means? Free from
material
desires. Material possessions as well. That's a quality of a devotee. Even as grihasthas, we should minimize the material possessions. Keep them to a minimum as much as possible. Grihastha life means expansion. You have to control the expansion. Otherwise, it just becomes a distraction. Too many saris and too many bangles and too many cars and too many everything. Grihastha life, that's the nature of it. But then you have to keep it balanced in grihastha life, not too expansive. But keep it simple as much as possible. We should be akinchana, without material possessions, as much as practical. Therefore, O Lord, having put aside all objects of material desire which abound to the modes of passion, ignorance, and goodness, I am approaching you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for shelter. You are not covered by mundane designations. Rather, you are the Supreme Absolute Truth, full and pure knowledge, and transcendental to the material modes. It's another quality of Krishna, which the devotee also has to encapsulate. Means that we have to become niguna. Niguna means free from the effects of the modes of nature. Mode of passion has its symptoms, mode of ignorance has its symptoms, even mode of goodness we have to transcend. But the effects of the mode of goodness and the mode of passion, we have to become free of. The mode of ignorance has many negative qualities, as does the mode of passion. So we have to rid ourselves of those qualities as we're advancing. For so long I have been pained by troubles in this world and have been burning with lamentation. My six enemies are never satiated, and I can find no peace. Therefore, O giver of shelter, O Supreme Soul, please protect me. O Lord, in the midst of danger, I have, by good fortune, approached your lotus feet, which are the truth, and which thus make one fearless and free of sorrow. So that is our aim. Our aim is to become Abhaya. Abhaya. That was Prabhupada's name, Abhaya, Charanara, Vinda. We have to become free from fear. That's when we know we really are advancing. We become free from fear of death. Prabhupada was on that level, free from fear of death. So Bhagavatam is saying here that should be quality or a symptom of one who's very advanced. He becomes free from fear of death. Just like Venugopal Prabhu, he passed away, you know, recently up at Mawalambar. He's free from fear of death. Quite amazing, actually. How he really showed us how to leave this world. He gave us, you know, great instruction how to leave this world. You know, there was no fear in him. Venugopal. On Prabhupada's disciple from Mawalambar.
Okay.
Yeah, he left a month or so ago. This one. O Supreme Lord, sorry, The Supreme Lord said, O Emperor, great ruler, your mind is pure and potent. Though I enticed you with benedictions, your mind was not overcome by material desires. So we can understand when Maya is testing us, who is sending the test?
Krishna.
Yeah, it's actually Krishna. You see, because he wants to see what is our choice. He sends those things. So this is another way that you can see Krishna in your day-to-day life. Now, if you have opportunity for sense gratification, say that's coming from Krishna. Krishna is saying, will you say yes or will you say no? If you say no, then you pass the test. If you say yes, that means you failed the test. You have to stay longer in the material world. So Krishna is testing us all the time. Understand that I enticed you with the benedictions just to prove that you would not be deceived. The intelligence of my unalloyed devotees is never diverted by material blessings. So these great devotees are in the Bhagavatam to show us how to pass the tests. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says the Pandavas, you know, look at the whole Mahabharata. Right. You know, we all have problems in our life, right? No, I'm looking around now. Right. You're all my good friends. I know your problems. Right. But none of our problems equal what the Pandavas went through. Actually, you know, if you look at what they went through, it's much, much bigger. Much more stressful, actually. Like, you know, it's not that our stuff is small, but comparatively. And they never forgot Krishna the whole time. That's the point. So that's the lesson we need to learn. Right? We go through all our tests, but we don't always pass the test so well. You know, sometimes we forget Krishna. We're not so perfectly Krishna conscious. The Pandavas did not do that. So that's why all these great devotees, like Muchakunda is here. Krishna is saying himself, I was testing you.
Mm-hmm.
I offer you these benedictions just so your elder devotees can see this is how I should be. I should not become bewildered.
Narada tested Guru
Narada. Yeah. The minds of non-devotees who engage in such practices as pranayama and are not fully cleansed of material desires. Thus, O King, material desires are again seen to arise in their minds. Wander this earth at will, with your mind fixed on me. May you always possess such unfailing devotion for me. Because you follow the principles of a Kshatriya, you killed living beings while hunting and performing other duties. You must vanquish the sins thus incurred by carefully executing penances while remaining surrendered to me. So, as devotees, we must be ready to follow any instruction we're given. Right. Sometimes you'll be given very difficult instructions. Most of the time we're not given difficult instructions because we're not so advanced. But when you become more advanced, sometimes you'll be given very difficult instructions. But you have to fulfill those instructions, you have to follow. This is how we advance in Krishna consciousness. When you're given an instruction by your senior authorities, your guru and shiksha gurus and senior devotees, when they give you instruction, that's how you advance, by following the instruction. If we don't follow the instruction, we don't advance in Krishna consciousness. So Muchakunda, he followed. He was able to pass the tests, and then we get the blessings of Krishna and the Guru. O King, in your very next life you will become an excellent Brahmana, the greatest well-wisher of all creatures, and certainly come to me alone. So he did not want to take birth again. He wanted to get Krishna's association. But sometimes Krishna makes the devotee take birth again to do more service. So a devotee accepts that. If Krishna wants, then we should not put a condition on Krishna that we want to go just back to Godhead. We want to go back to Godhead. And Krishna may let us go back to Godhead, but he also may make us return another time to do more service. So we should not put conditions on Krishna. and say, if you want, then I will come and serve. But the main thing is I want to serve. Lifetime after lifetime. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Sri Ramachandra ki.
Jai.
Thank you all for coming.
What day is it coming next?
What's that?
What day is it coming next?
A Brahmana.
Yeah, name?
Name is not given. Okay, please keep up with your fees for the course. If you need the open book exam topics, I have them here from last week. Tomorrow night we'll continue chapter 52. Rukmini's message to Krishna. Hare Krishna.